right, that was cut number three. And the fourth cut coming up. The name of it is Controversial. Okay, let's hear a lot of votes coming in now. It's 848-6767. Cut A was A-Bomb and Wardour Street. Cut B was 3E. Cut 3 was This Generation's on Vacation. And Cut 4 was Controversial. So let's see this board light up. 848-6767. All right, that number was the number back in 78 when we recorded that show. The number now is 848-4425. Why don't you vote on song 1, 2, 3, or 4? And maybe later we'll be able to scoot ahead in that tape and find out who won back in 78, and we'll compare it to who won tonight. 848-4425, and Walter will handle your calls. Vote on song 1, 2, 3, or 4. Walter, get off that phone and answer those other phones. All right. Now, to the contemporary world here. Dolph, step up to the mic and bring us up to 1987. Okay.
Hi. Me again, I'm still here, afraid going back to Germany, freezing, and I start off with a song from the first Razzia LP. The song is called Schatten über Geroldshofen.
Ich erwach, in diesem Dorf war er nicht. soll wirklich Zeit werden. Denn die Menschen sind dieselben und die Masken sind frei. Kleidung ist anders, die Gesinnung ist gleich. Die Gesinnung ist gleich. Die Gesinnung ist gleich. Nicht in diesem Leben ist es geschehen. Nicht in diesem Leben, nicht in diesem Leben. Ich habe diesen Ort schon einmal gesehen. Doch nicht in diesem Leben, doch nicht in diesem Leben. Nicht in diesem Leben ist es geschehen. Nicht in diesem Leben, nicht in diesem Leben. Ich will diesen Ort, ich will ihn sterben sehen.
Well, this is Dorfstall, I'm sorry. First we started off with Razzia, with the song Schatten über Gehalshofen. Then you missed, unfortunately, some great songs from Everything Falls Apart, a German band, which will release soon a split LP with Challenger Crew, another great German band, but the tape machine fucked up. Actually, the tape recorder. I recorded it. What?
Just swearing.
And then we ended with Slam from Sweden with the song Nothing Left.
Okay, you're listening to KPFA in Berkeley and KFCF in Fresno. And now,
the goblin,
all two in the present is Walter.
Hold the applause. Okay, this is tape time, and this first tape is by a band who released a Flexi last year. The band's called Ripcord from England, the cassette's called Fast and Furious, and the song's called Eternal Tomb. Ripcord from England off a new cassette called Fast and Furious, and that song was called Eternal Tomb, and this next song is off a new compilation tape called Zona No Nuclear, and this song is by a personal favorite of Steve Smanali's, the Subterranean Kids, and the song is called Nunca Mas. Okay, that was the Subterranean Kids from Spain doing a song called Nunca Mas off a new compilation tape called Zona No Nuclear. And this next song is off a cassette by a band called Skid from New Jersey, and the song's called Things Always Fall.
I'm trying to stay up, but things always fall! Try to go faster, faster than a crawl. Life's got me stumped, now I don't think so tall. One thing's for sure, things always fall.
Okay, that was Skid off a new cassette, and they're from New Jersey, and that song's called Things Always Fall. And this next song is off a cassette by a band called Half Off from Southern California, and as Dolph would say, straight edge! This militant straight edge.
Geil, Alter! Total geil!
Right from the Dolph's mouth. And this song's called Make Every Minute Count.
Straight edge.
Make every minute. If you have count, try to use everything in front of you. Advance in front. Never look behind you. Make choice right now. Later on, you might not get to choose. I promise not to waste any time. It's now or never. We must give it up, instead of trying. Can't afford to waste another day. We're all suffering from too much pride. Lie to ourselves every day. Lie to ourselves every day. Try to do good, not because someone said you should. Take a stand, do it now. Don't sit down till you said it all. I promise not to waste any time. It's now or never. We must try and change all this wrong. The opportunity will not be very long. Treat it with the atmosphere. Gotta start right now. Gotta start right now and here. Get the excuses, start with you. To us, we must be true. Rather change and see you done. Things are wrong, please don't run.
Okay, that was Half Off from Southern California off a spanking new cassette called Who Writes Your Rules, and that song was called Make Every Minute Count. And now...
Okay, I guess we're going to get back to the past.
Right. Speaking of...
Moving forward to the past.
Now, I wonder if Jeff, are you in this interview? Do you remember?
I have
no idea. I don't even know which one it is.
This was the second time Minor Threat came out here.
Maybe I was.
Yeah. Well, anyway, we're gonna find out here. This
is going back to 82.
Right. And we'll see what happened when Minor Threat was here then.
Yeah, we're gonna find out what were the driving issues of 1982.
It was a younger and more innocent age back then.
All right,
here we go.
Give me a joint.
In the studio we have Richard Moore, who is our Washington D.C. correspondent for the magazine and who's in 00, and with him are his five roadies.
not true.
Who also sometimes play in Minor Threat. Richard, step up to the mic, here, fella. Yeah. How'd you learn to write so well?
Sugar Bear.
It's luck, believe me. Huh? I've written in many years. College, that's what it is. Year of college.
Purdue.
And unfortunately, you write better than you speak.
Okay. Thank you very much. I'm nervous, you know.
All right, so...
We're not versions of the airwaves. Go ahead and try us.
All right, here. Well, you got to move over here towards this mic. There. Okay.
Sorry.
So last year we did a very serious interview, which got us in lots of trouble. This year we're going to do a nice... fun interview. I had the privilege of getting a ride down the station with Minor Threat tonight, and was privy to some very inside information about, like, you know, like what they eat. And it was quite a discussion. Would any of you like to take this up?
Oh, I'll bite. we had an experience at... What was it, Jack in the Box?
Jack in the Box, Brian. Jack in the Box. And also, there was dissension among the ranks as we were supposed to get pizza, but then I was informed that at least two of the members of this party would not eat pizza. They would eat burgers, and that was it.
Due to the fact that we'd had pizza the night before.
Yeah, as well, regardless.
Oh, my.
So I went to Jack in the Box driving, and we thought they'd clean up their act when we got there. To be quite frank, they had an all-new menu. It looked real nice. They had, you know...
We lost.
They had a new sign, and the building had been remodeled, and we thought we were in for, you know, a pleasurable dining experience, but it was not to be. Rich, would you care to elaborate?
Rich stepped up to the counter, and what did he order? He ordered
three cheeseburgers. Two fries, one onion ring, one salad, one chocolate shake, and a glass of water.
Needless to say, Rich is not of ballet caliber.
So, Rich, do you think you got the best of this deal?
I think I won.
Brian and I got the chicken stick.
Me and Steve got the chicken stick, and I was going to ask the lady what part of the chicken the stick is, but I didn't. And
we lost big. $15 for three. $15.
Now tell us, you guys paid for how many people?
$9 or $10 for a huge pizza and just gallons of Pepsi Cola.
However,
we're still hungry.
We can definitely say in the end we hope to rectify the situation.
Jeff says Pepsi is heresy. He's a Coca-Cola man all the way.
Coke's good too, but you know. Sorry.
Coke shreds, he says. Okay.
We've eaten and it's over. It's forgotten.
It's done now.
It's
over. It's finished. It's done.
So are there any other, like, you know, really important issues like this that we should talk about?
Other than the food?
Oh, no. Yes, we're pretty big on bathroom humor.
Bathroom humor.
I heard you got treated to some bathroom humor the first night you were staying here.
Oh, yes.
We stayed over at a certain...
You can name names.
Mr. Biafra's house. Unfortunately, Mr. Biafra is out of town right now. And occupying his residence are his wife and Mickey, who lives there. And
a motley crew.
Discussion and Winston Smith and... Another gentleman.
Colorful individual.
And last year when we stayed there, they decided... That was when Microwave was still living there and... When we stayed there, they drummed up the whole thing for us. They left syringes lying around and all sorts of beer bottles. And stuff
they're
like that.
Obviously funny people.
Needless to say, we were doubled over with laughter for pretty much the run of our stay.
This time we met Mickey down at on Broadway, and we were talking about staying at his house, and he was telling us how. He had gone on the wagon, he was straight edge now, and all that stuff. So we were looking forward to a promising evening.
Of quiet sleep, right. Which we hadn't got the night before.
We didn't realize that Frank Discussion was in the van with us, which was one thing that was rather interesting to discover. But when we got there, I didn't even go inside, actually. None of us went inside except for Brian and
me
Steve.
There's
a man vomiting on the front porch.
All of a sudden, they come running out. This guy's vomiting right where we're going to sleep. We're sleeping in the van. So they jump in the van.
By coincidence, we drew lots.
So we got in there, and this guy had obviously been drinking quite a bit. In fact, everybody had been sort of drinking except for, I guess, Mickey, because he was with us, Frank. But they were all drinking and having a good time. And there seemed to be quite a few beer bottles around. And there was this huge bag of what looked like marijuana, but we kind of dismissed it as not being it. Well, we didn't even think twice about it.
Assuming these people had grown up
matured a bit. Got him past sixth grade.
No, guess not, huh?
We were informed later on that the whole thing was staged for our benefit, even down to the exorcist vomit.
And the toilet paper joints
and all that.
Funny people.
It
surprised me that adults would go through such pains just for this kind of humor.
I mean, that was pretty good. The funniest thing was that...
I didn't laugh.
The funniest thing was that the throw-up was on the floor, and I said to Mickey, actually being serious, this is even funnier than last year, what you did last year. I didn't think about it, that it might have been staged. But
meanwhile, Mickey was doubled over in laughter.
He had a good joke at our expense, but we're going to get him back one of these days.
We will laugh last.
All right, so it was indeed a staged event, so ha-ha.
Yeah, ha-ha-ha-ha.
All right,
once again.
Now, let's talk about the new record. Lyle, before you were saying that there, after the fact, you guys discovered something about the record.
Well, yeah, the lyrics point towards it's sort of a friendship album, basically. The songs generally are about how Ian, who writes the lyrics, interacts with his friends, and the friends are range from, well, Jeff especially, because they've been friends for so long, and it just, and then friendship in general, and just the way people deal with each other on a personal level. Whereas the first record was more of a statement, a real like a setting down of doctrines record, and the second one was sort of like after the reaction of those doctrines had come in, Ian talked about the way he saw things, their reactions and what he had said on the first record, and how he looked at all that. Mm-hmm. And then this record is more of a personal thing, I think.
But it doesn't mean it excludes anybody. I think that if anything, people could picture themselves in these scenarios probably better than any of the other ones, actually, because I think everyone's got friends, or at least problems with friends, so perhaps.
So this was sort of, I mean, you didn't realize at the time when you were...
No, I mean, I just write songs, you know, when they come, which is very rarely, actually. And actually, I didn't even notice it. I think Lyle pointed out to me, this is like our friendship record or whatever, but, I mean, they go from, like, Bat Betrayed, which is like, you know, a song about being betrayed, obviously, by a friend, and then it goes to Look Back and Laugh, which is like a song, hopefully, you know, trying to, like, you know, keep your friendship intact, even though there's a lot of problems, because maybe it is worth it after all, and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Actually, things that are not songs about friends in particular, which might be, you know, people might want to hear about, are the things that come in after Out of Step, which are, it's called Cashing In, which a lot of people have asked us about, so I thought I'd take this opportunity to explain it.
Okay, let me do that.
When we first got back together, and that was in April last year, mainly our friends in Washington especially just gave us a real hard time, saying that, oh, well, we were just, you know, jumping back into it because we were famous now, and basically we were cashing in on our fame and the whole thing, and it really was quite, I mean, if anything, it was a drive. It made us that much more want to play. So when we finally did play, the first song we played ever since we got back together was a song called, was Cashing In, where we threw like $20 out into the crowd. And
in quarters.
I was carried on stage, you know, by, you know, like, it was like a whole thing. It was like a totally to mock these people, and Brian threw a bass out.
Yeah,
it was an old bass. The whole idea was just to, like, you know, poke fun at it. But it's not, I mean, it's basically just to, like, say, like, how ludicrous the idea is that we could be cashing in, and that's exactly what the song is about, too. I would think it's obvious, but some people seem to have problems with it.
Some people have come to me and actually said that they thought it was real, that we were actually saying we really don't care.
We really do, whatever.
Which I don't see how they have missed. They seem to really miss the point.
All right, this show is on a cassette tape, so we're going to turn over the tape and continue the rest of that interview in a minute.
Yeah, you've been listening to an interview with Minor Threat from 1982 as we bounce around in time tonight. I'm going to take this opportunity to read the calendar here, or maybe Walter will read the calendar, or maybe Jeff will read the calendar.
Would you like to do it, Mr. Bale?
Depends on who it depends, man. Let's see what we got. Yeah. All right, I'll read it. What the hey? You know, if I don't read it, then I won't have anything to say tonight at all.
Right.
So I guess I'm going to read it here. And it's a really big shoe this week. And we set out tomorrow night, Wednesday, at the VAS with Eugene Chadbourne's whatever the name of his band is now. And I think actually that the maybe the Dwarves were on that show.
No, that's the following one.
Okay, sorry, I'm wrong. All right, see, I can't even read the calendar anymore.
Besides, Eugene Chadbourne doesn't have a band. He does the wild one man performance.
He does?
That's not to be missed.
Oh, all right. See, once again,
it just shows that I am.
You go ahead and announce, and I'll go ahead and clear everything.
You do. All right. I'll tell you what, Ruth. I'll announce, and you correct everything I say. Okay.
Right. Okay.
Okay. Then Friday at the farm, it's MDC, Youth of Today, Justice League, Clown Alley, Neurosis, and RKL. So it's a really big shoe. Like I was saying, that there was going to be somewhere here. And Saturday night at the Chatterbox on Valencia, it's the Hoss. The Great Boss Hoss, and Hanging Party, whoever they are. Ruth, can you clarify that for me?
Sorry, Jeff.
Okay. And let's see. Sunday the 25th at the Underground at 201 9th Street, presumably in San Francisco, it's the Undead. And I assume that's Sid Terra's Undead, am I right? And it's the Bad Boys with them. Is that Sid Terra's Bad Boys? No, just kidding. And, of course, there's shows at the warehouse on Friday and Saturday. But, you know, we have this strange policy. Or actually, we don't have it. Tim has a strange policy where he thinks it's better not to announce who's playing. So I won't announce it.
Well, actually, there is word-of-mouth advertising on these shows, and we're going to see how that goes.
But you have to be in with the in-crowd to find out about
it. Well, no, you have to be a member of the warehouse, which is very easy. Anyone can come down, either, you know, at a show on Friday and Saturday nights and join up. The only stipulations is that there's no violence or vandalism permitted within those confines, and we can't have any booze or drugs on the premises. Then you're involved, and you can be as involved as you want. The more, the better, actually. And there are two shows this weekend, as every Friday and Saturday night. And the place is at 924 Gilman Street in Berkeley. And I will tell you this, that a lot of the big bands that are going to be appearing at the farm will also be playing the warehouse at various times. So you won't miss out if you just go to the warehouse. And it's a much smaller environment to check them out. So, Friday and Saturday night down there, there is stuff happening. And
there's some announcement here.
Yeah.
And it's you, Tim. You wrote it. Walter's announcement, it says. It says Walter's announcement.
Well, that's one of them.
All right, go ahead, Walter.
Greetings. Well, last week or 2 weeks ago, I made an announcement that my band, The Pukes, needs a drummer, so, and we have a drum set, so if you can drum and be reliable and take lots of abuse, call Brooke.
Dish out lots of abuse.
If
you can dish out lots of abuse, then Walter will especially appreciate it.
I will especially accept this abuse with the utmost courtesy and kindness. You can call Brooke at 456-0835, but don't call him now because he's asleep, but you can call him tomorrow, and it'll be just chipper.
Okay, and one other announcement. This fellow, for the last several weeks, has been trying to get bands on his comp tape. And again, this is he's coming up towards his deadline. So if you want to get your band on his tape, write to Brain, Brayne, at 606 43rd Street, Richmond, California, 94805. He'll accept all bands for that. We'll announce the record review results later on in the show. Meanwhile, Ruth, what are we doing now?
Let's go back to Minor Threat back in 1982.
Okay. Straight Edge!
That's something that we were talking about before. Like you said, sarcasm or satirical songs, a lot of times, if they aren't real clear, I mean, it can be taken either way for sure.
Yeah, it definitely can. It's a real easy way of writing because you can bend it according to the situation. And there have been a number of songs, you know, like that, of all types of music.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that
it's misinterpreted in general.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, obviously the original authors of the songs had at that point when they wrote it an idea of what it meant. But over the period of time that's gone by since it was written, things change, and then they might just, like, start bending it and adopting a different attitude on it.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was obvious. Another problem with it was that when our record was originally, the sleeve of our record, we had a problem with.
Oh, yeah.
And that problem resulted in the back cover being completely black.
Which is not supposed to be.
It's supposed to have a picture of each of our smiling faces as well as the list of the songs, and the song Cashing In is not listed. We wanted to include it mainly because we thought that we weren't too happy about putting out 8 songs, you know, at once. We wanted to put another song on there, and also because it was, you know, that way it would be more obvious that it was not supposed to be something taken as seriously.
More importantly, what the back cover left off was the Discord address and the fact that we are selling it at 350 postpaid, which is basically our way, since it is an EP, it's not like an album length, even though it is an incredibly long EP, I think. But in general, we're bending over backward to keep the price down. So there was really, it was quite a letdown. Hopefully, whoever gets the one with the black, there's only going to be 3,500 of them like that. So
you may
have a collector's item.
Okay. All right, so I think maybe we should, is there anything?
Well, we should just introduce
Steve. Oh, yeah, we want to.
Okay, I'm sorry, yes.
That's why we forgot you.
He's been shining.
Say hi, Steve.
Hello, Steve. Now, this is our new bass player. Brian moved to guitar because he wanted to play guitar. And we have
Brent
Steve
was too high at bass. So
Steve Hanskin now playing bass. Also, let me see. Can we talk about that quickly? Just talk about the Articles of Faith thing, if that's possible.
Real quick.
I just wanted to point out that in the new issue of your magazine, Vic from Articles of Faith just made a statement saying that people who are straight edge will beat people up. And I will say, as the quote-unquote godfather of straight edge, or whatever you want to call me, that in my existence, and that is from Washington and Boston also, I have never seen a group of people actually beat up somebody merely because he was drinking. Never in my life. And I am like Mr. Straight Edge after all, so. I think Vic is talking from perhaps not a absolute
he's talking
good
from a porcelain perch, as we may say.
That's right, a porcelain perch. And basically,
he's
once again,
the toilet waters.
The whole straight edge thing is basically an anti-obsession song. And it basically means being in control of your own life. And if people can't handle it, then that's their own thing. Doesn't mean you don't take drugs, whatever. So.
Oh, let's talk about straight edge now.
No.
These guys got to get in their van and go to Salt Lake City.
Tonight.
16 hours away.
Right. Brian's driving.
Yeah.
And
I'm sitting shotgun.
All right. So we're gonna play one of those cuts off their EP about friendship or lack of it here, perhaps. This is Betrayed. Okay, Minor Threat there from 1982. Oh, one other DJ I just thought of that used to be on the show, John Gullick. And, okay.
Well, he still does a show here on KBFN.
That's right.
Not
all right,
far after
now
us.
We're back in the present again, and here's Rob with a set for us.
Okay, this is a little set about input from others, and a couple of my friends have been going through kind of a wild time, so I thought I'd play something about it. And the first we're going to hear from the big boys.